Fourth word. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In this word, the Lord looks to us and addresses the feelings of abandonment, being inadequate, and the perception of the wrath of God being unleashed upon us. He does this by helping us to see, in the words of Peter Kreeft, the wrath of God is really the love of God seen by uninspired eyes. In looking with inspired eyes, we realize it's all about divine love. The feelings of abandonment, inadequacy, and dark nights must happen in our lives if we are going to be purified to recognize the beauty of God. It's like a little child who yells and yells because it's nap time, thinking that their parents are being big meanies. Dare I say, wrathful. But it's only because they want them to rest. Because they know when they're rested, they're better able to enjoy their lives, enjoy their day. It's the same with us. We have to realize that we don't rest. When we don't rest in God's love, that is sin, it truly does mess us up. But God takes us where we are and slowly starts to lift us up to where he wants us to be. Where's that? He wants us to be with him. Be with him in heaven. Even here, while still on earth. Notice in the Our Father we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the place where God is. So when God lifts us up and it appears like darkness, because the more closer you come to the sun, the more you have to shade your eyes. But eventually, if you trust God, he just gives you a different type of lens, which enables you to take in all of his light. This is why Psalm 30 says, though the sorrow may last for a night, joy comes with the morning. So in this word from the cross, Jesus shows us that our dark night, our feeling of abandonment, must involve advancing in the spiritual lenses of, or the purification of our senses and our souls. Fully grasp the reality of God's love. And this happens in 3 ways. First, we must put on the lens of humility by purifying our pride. We have to admit, by ourselves, we are inadequate. We can't save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves happy or fulfilled. The sooner we realize this, that's the sooner that we can start to grow towards the happiness that God made us for. But have you ever wondered why God didn't just make us self-sufficient? He gave an amazing answer to St. Catherine of Siena in her dialogues. He said, I would have you know that every virtue of yours and every vice is put into action by your neighbor. Love of me and love of neighbor are the same thing. The more the soul loves me, the more the soul loves the neighbor. I distributed my goods to everyone so that no one has all of them. Thus, I've given you a reason to practice mutual charity. I could have well supplied each one of you with everything that you need, but I've wanted to make you dependent on one another, so each of you would be a minister dispensing to one another what you need by means of charity. The lack of charity in life is why so many of us do not grow in our relationship with God. But on the other hand, if we become more charitable in life, we will deepen our relationship with Him. So there's a circular strengthening that goes on. Our supernatural life is connected to our worldly behavior, like our bodies are connected to our souls. They're not two separate things, but they're fruits of one another. So the second thing, God purifies our senses so that we can love properly and understand the value of things. When someone gives you gifts all the time, and think about this in your own life, it's very easy to take that person for granted. To love the gifts and forget the giver. But this is to love improperly, because people are always more valuable than things. This is especially important when the person is God and we fall in love with His consolations, His good feelings, or even a good life instead of falling in love with Him. So sometimes God seems to take away those good things so that we can see Him once again instead of having our vision of Him blocked by His gifts. In this we love God properly, and paradoxically, we learn the lesson He's been trying to teach us all along. In loving Him, the giver, He will freely give us the gifts as well, because now love will be properly ordered. And then we go into the deeper purification, that of the soul. This is the third thing for advancing in the happiness we're made for. Our soul's made up of intellect and will and memory. And this dark night of the soul helps to get rid of the 7 spiritual deadly sins and purifies these aspects of the soul. Now I'm going to tell you, this does get rough, and this comes from St. John of the Cross. He doesn't hold back any punches. I'll share it with you. But these 7 spiritual deadly sins, we can remember them with the acronym GEL CAPS. Okay, they're spiritual gluttony. This is resisting the cross and spiritually overeating on goodness. We have to do things not just for pleasure or a prize, but simply because it's the right thing to do. Spiritual envy. Feeling happy when others fail spiritually or they do well spiritually. They're always comparing their spiritual life to others. In order to defeat this, we have to change from a comparative mentality to a contributive mentality. Not me versus him or her, but me and him or her. Not survival of the fittest, but survival of the family, because we're all in this together. Spiritual lust, the third one. This is wanting God's blessings more than God Himself. This is the health and wealth gospel. God loves me only when I'm blessed. But this is an affront against the God who loves us. He loves us for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad. The love that our marriage vows image. Even when we have nothing, we're still God's everything. 4, spiritual covetousness. This is always being discontent about what God gives you. It's never enough. To counter this, we have to develop an attitude of gratitude, Because remember, God owes us nothing, but he gives us everything as a gift. Fifth is spiritual anger. This is becoming angry or irritated because people aren't as holy as they should be according to us. St. John of the Cross calls this making yourself the Lord of virtue. We have to remember two things that a wise priest once told me to counter this. When you wake up in the morning, first thing you need to do is look in the mirror. Then you need to look and tell yourself, I am not the Savior. Second thing that you need to tell yourself, as he said to me, you have to remember this. People are crazy. You have to. Love is God loves. And God is love. And we hear from St. Paul, love is patient. We too have to be patient with others. Not in our time, but God's time. Sixth, spiritual pride. We tend to speak of spiritual things in front of people and others, not to encourage them in holiness, but so that they think that we're holy. And usually holier than we actually are. Now know, if you are holy, the people around you will know it. You don't have to speak about it all the time. To counter this, just look at the people next to you. Look at the people who live with you. And ask them how holy you are. It'll humble you pretty quickly. Then this last one, the spiritual sloth. This is running from the things that are hard to prefer dwelling in spiritual sweetness. To counter spiritual sloth, you have to put on a servant cloth. And I made that rhyme so you can remember it a little bit better there. God will increase the gift of fortitude in you by putting people in your life that one religious sister used to jokingly say she would label them a true splinter from the cross. You embrace that splinter, you'll grow away from spiritual sloth. So we see that the seven spiritual deadly sins have to be purified because they're bad fruits and they hinder our love for God. The tricky thing is that these bad fruits are disguised as something good, so they're harder to identify. But all the same, they have to be discarded if we're to live in true love. We then see that our intellect is taken up in the faith. As our reason tells us, we can't know everything, and we have to get comfortable with mystery. Our memory is taken up into hope because we realize that we don't have to earn God's blessings. He gives it to us freely. He gives us everything that we need to get to heaven. We just have to trust him. And then our will is taken up into God's love, which loves unconditionally, even if we get nothing in return. We see this by looking at our Lord, and looking at our Lord hanging on the cross. What did he get from hanging on the cross? He got our sins, which nailed him to that tree. But he still did it because he loves us. In these purifications, we realize that although it feels like God has abandoned us, he's really been there all along. You just look at the stations of the cross. God never takes away the cross from the Lord, but he does send somebody to be with him every step of the way. So in conclusion of this word, let us restore the proper order of things by seeing that God does not abandon, but is always a divine companion. We are not forsaken, but forgiven. I cannot be happy with just me, but I can be happy when I love like Jesus and think of family. Family is an acronym for forget about me, I love you. But also, this is the reality that all of us are called to. May we always accept this call and help ourselves and one another to restore the proper order of love in our lives.